For the past 20 years, the Pyre Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Pyre Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepyremall.com. That's thepyremall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joy Schreiley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay from the Pyre Mall. I'm here to talk with you today about one of our most powerful products that does not get enough recognition. That product is Blockbuster All Clear by Good Health Naturally. Blockbuster is a blend of proteolytic enzymes and antioxidants, which combine serrapeptase and natokinase with digestive enzymes, antioxidants, pine bark extract, oh, and much more. The unique combination of these ingredients have been carefully selected to provide powerful support for a range of health conditions, with particular benefit to heart and cardiovascular. Kidney health is another area that benefits from targeted enzyme support, as there is a close link between cardiovascular system and kidney function. If you'd like to learn more about this powerful product, give me a call today, 877-817-9829. Or visit thepyremall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Pyre Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Pyre Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give. For questions or comments about today's broadcast, please feel free to email us at support@thepowerhour.com. Or call 877-817-9829 and select option number 2. We'd love your show feedback and guest recommendations, so please feel free to reach out and be a part of the Power Hour team.
The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is my honor to be hosting the Power Hour. My name is Andy Steele, and I am the Chief Operating Officer at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And the hosts of this show have bestowed me this great honor to be able to join you today and talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart, something that I have dedicated a big portion of my life to, and something that our guests that you're going to be listening today to today has really sunk their teeth into over the years. That, of course, is September 11th, 2001. We are coming upon another anniversary, the 23rd one. And over the years, I've always thought about the post-9/11 world. We know that it changed everything. And I think of it in terms of a person. I personify it. And so at the 16th anniversary, I would think, oh, the post-9/11 world is old enough to drive a car now. Oh, 18, they can vote. They can go to war. 21, they're old enough to buy beer at the store. So at 23 years, I don't know what kind of milestone in a person's life that is, but that means that we have entered adulthood now on the post-9/11 world. And they say that it changed everything. Certainly, I remember things being very different before this event, waking up on that Tuesday morning and seeing the impossible happen. And in all the rhetoric and propaganda that we were bombarded with, in the days that followed and the years that followed, we were told to never forget 9/11. Never forget, as we got into these wars that seemed endless, as we lost our civil liberties in the wake of it, never forget. And you know what? I did my patriotic duty. I did not forget. I never forgot that a 47-story steel frame high-rise collapsed in 6.5 seconds at 5:20 in the afternoon that day, even though it had not been hit by an airplane. I never forgot that World Trade Center 7, the name of this building, was investigated by our government, or so they claim, but they refused to release the input data of their investigation, and they said it would jeopardize public safety. I never forgot that the National Institute of Standards and Technology gave us this explanation that these fires in the corner of the building got so hot that they caused these beams framing into this girder to get pushed the girder off of its seat. And then this caused a collapse process within the building. We'll be getting into that with our engineer today. And it caused the interior to fall, then the exterior. But then there were photos released an hour before, and it showed that in this area of collapse initiation that there was no fires. The fires were already out. So if you don't have raging fires, you don't have the heat to create this thermal expansion, and the whole collapse scenario goes out the window. I never forgot this. I never forgot that the University of Alaska Fairbanks did a study on World Trade Center 7, and they concluded that for Building 7 to come down the way that it did, all the interior and exterior columns would have had to fail virtually simultaneously. And that fire likely would not cause this to happen, being an organic process. Really, the only way that could happen is if you had pre-planted explosives. And certainly, you cannot forget the Twin Towers. That's what most people know about. I never forgot this explanation I got, that these top blocks of these towers, that when they went, they crushed the bottom portions of the towers all the way down to the ground, while somehow destroying themselves in the final stage of this process, and that this violates the laws of physics. It wouldn't have the energy to do this. I never forgot about the molten metal at ground zero that the jet fuel fires can't account for. They don't get hot enough to create this heat that's needed to melt all of this steel. I never forgot about the little iron microspheres found in the World Trade Center dust, the byproduct of a thermitic reaction. We've heard all of this stuff for years, and I imagine if you followed the Power Hour all of this time that this has been covered, because you're probably not just listening to the Power Hour, you're probably listening to all sorts of different sources talking about this. So it is important to never forget. Do your patriotic duty, and don't forget that they lied to you about World Trade Center 7. That they lied to you about what really brought these buildings down. And remember that every time you have an official story shoved down your throat. That is why I continue to do this work. It is the gateway issue to so many other issues taking place in our world And I like to think that we at AE911 Truth have done our part in inserting that doubt, inserting that questioning, making our public more vigilant and getting at the bottom of 9/11 and making them more suspicious of all of the official narratives that they see on that flickery blue box in their living room. Now, it is my honor today to be joined by people that I consider like family now. We have been in the trenches fighting this battle, and they're going to be sharing their thoughts about the post 9/11 world, the 9/11 evidence, why this issue continues to be important even 23 years later. I still think it's the most important issue, because if you change people's minds on this, they're going to wonder what else are they lying to us about. So my first guest is the general manager at AE911 Truth. He's also a board member. This is Kamal Obaid. He holds a master's degree in civil engineering from the University of California, Berkeley. I've been practicing civil and structural engineer in San Francisco Bay Area since 1980, licensed structural engineer since 85. He specializes in structural steel building analysis, as well as investigating structural failures of steel frame buildings. And at one point, he actually served as a volunteer for FEMA. So he's got that street cred going. He investigated earthquake failures, and he's a longtime member of the Structural Engineers Association of Northern California. He's going to be joined by journalist Craig McKee, who's been a journalist in Montreal for over 30 years, covering news and entertainment. He's actually won 8 provincial and national newspaper awards, and he writes and edits for us at 8911 Truth, along with his blogs, Thought Crimes and Misdemeanors and Truth and Shadows. He's actually got a podcast, too, you should all check out, called Truth and Shadows. So, guys, thank you for joining us here on Power Hour. How you doing?
Thank you for having us, and thanks
yes,
to
I'm
the—
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks to the Power Hour for hosting us as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much. And this is great because, you know, I host a show, 9/11 Freefall. I do it for AE 9/11 Truth. There's some variants of it. We also do one called The Focus. But mainly we focus on the controlled demolition evidence there. And I know the people that have been watching us at 9/11 Freefall and The Focus are already well-versed on the evidence if they're following it. And they're hearing me talk about this every week. Practically. But, you know, we may be reaching new people today, maybe people who haven't looked into this for a very long time. So it's a great opportunity to be able to talk about this issue and tell people why we think this is so important so many years after the event. Kamal, as an engineer, how did you first know that these buildings were brought down in demolitions? And I only just glazed the surface of the evidence that shows this. So fill in any gaps that I left in my intro.
Well, I mean, right after the event, 9/11, it was clear that there was something wrong with the official story from the get-go. But it wasn't until much later in 2008 that when the NIST report came out about Building 7 and then also whatever report they put together on the Twin Towers, after reviewing those, and in fact, after really studying the NIST report on building, that NIST is National Institute of Standards, by the way, so they were actually tasked by the government to do an investigation and put a report together, which actually came out in 2008. And then subsequent to that, it was modified and back and forth until they came out with their final conclusion that the Building 7, which is really the most obvious one, came down at freefall speed into its footprint. And then, of course, you know, studying that and seeing the unlikelihood from a structural engineering standpoint that that could happen. But then also, when you look at everything else, such as why was the steel made to disappear? Why was the evidence... evidence of all the steel and the structures essentially made to was taken away and melted and recycled in China or wherever that was. But the point is that engineers were not afforded the chance to basically really examine the debris, which is critical or any kind of disaster. I mean, if you look at an airplane disaster, the FAA or would actually repiece the whole thing together in a big warehouse to see where the failure is. We were not afforded that opportunity. So all of these things put together just started this doubt, and basically studying it even more when, after architects and engineers retained Leroy Holsey, professor at University of Alaska, Fairbanks, to do a comprehensive study on Building 7, and he came up with the conclusions that it is actually physically impossible to bring that building down the way it did. It was a very detailed study that had never been done before, much more detailed than the NIST study, and he tried so many things. He and his staff really looked at every little thing. How could that building have fallen like that? How could these elements that NIST had said cause the cascading events that caused the buildings to come down? So, and then of course, when you look at the NIST study itself, the NIST study did a 3D model of the failure of Building 7. And when you look at that, you see that the NIST study debunks itself. In fact, so how the building collapsed, when you look at the animation, it looks like it crumpled. It could not have fallen into its footprint like it really did. And the University of Alaska study actually showed it exactly how could that have happened. And it would have happened. It could, the only way it could have happened is actually removing 8 stories of structural steel. In other words, destroying all the columns along the whole height of an 8-story section of the building in order to cause the building to fall at that free fall speed and crush down the whole structure the way it did.
Yeah, you know, buildings don't do that. You know, fire is an organic process. And the conclusion of the University of Alaska Fairbanks study, again, says that the internal and external columns would have had to have failed pretty much at the same time. It stops there. It doesn't get into the implications of this. We do. The only way you can make that happen is controlled demolition. And you mention the model from NIST. And what's funny about this, yes, it twists on itself like a soda can, like one of those novelty soda cans you would see at Spencer's at the mall or something like that. But they don't even go through the entire collapse sequence. They stop it because it starts to betray what their explanation says happened. And in the case of the Twin Towers too, they explain the process by which the collapse started. We have some questions about that as well. But they don't go through the entire collapse sequence. I think they use in the reports, then global collapse ensued. And they treat it as if, well, this is an unimportant detail. But people died as a result of what happened after that collapse initiation. So if I had loved ones that were living in those towers, or were not living in them, but working in them, who died as a result of this, I would want to know how this top block crushed its way all to the ground. And again, destroyed itself in the final process, as they claim, because you don't see a top block sitting on the rubble pile at ground zero. This building was pulverized, all right, turned to dust in midair, and we're just not buying that. Plus the fact that you can see squibs shooting out from below the collapse line as it's coming down. These are detonations going off early. They hoped we wouldn't notice it. And, of course, the chemical analysis of the dust as well, that you have these little iron microspheres, byproduct of a thermitic reaction. They actually found the chemical signature of something called nanothermite in the dust. And we're not going to have time to get into the deep explanation of that chemical process and the painstaking research that was done by Niels Harrit's team at the University of Copenhagen in Denmark. But You can go to our website, ae911truth.org. We've been talking about this nonstop for years, and if you really want to do a deep dive, go into our research there, go into our articles, watch the podcast, and check it out. But one of the things that really struck me about this when I first started waking up to this was the fact that, you know, I don't want to subscribe to something like this immediately because, you know, I'm hearing one side of things. I want to hear the other side of things. But when I wanted to, you know, hear the government side, the mainstream media certainly acted like it had something to hide, like it was covering this up. Anybody that would talk about this evidence, very reasonable stuff. You listen to Kamal Obaid here, very reasonable guy with the credentials to back up what he is saying. They would be treated like they were from Mars or something. And I know that, Craig, this is something. You're a journalist. I know you've been aghast at the mainstream media's reaction to this issue and other issues. They're supposed to be the fourth estate, the voice of the people, but has it been on this issue from what you have seen?
Well, I would argue that it isn't on any issue anymore, but certainly not this one. And that, you know, that saddens me to a degree because I went to journalism school in Montreal in Canada. And at the time I was going through school, I guess I was thinking, you know, that I hoped I would get a job on a daily paper or maybe on a TV station or something. And I would, you know, I was already quite cynical about the establishment view of things. But I mean, I still believed, I guess, that becoming a career journalist, that I would be able to address some of those things. Now, when I look at what mainstream journalism has become, it's depressing because really it's just nothing more than propaganda for the establishment. And I wouldn't want to have anything to do with working on a big city daily today, I don't think. Not that they would hire me. But anyway, this issue in particular and any of the big issues that involve, deep state power, I would say, you're not going to get the truth from the mainstream media, or you might get little kind of snippets of truth mixed in with the lies, and you really have to search for them. I mean, one thing I've noticed, and I wrote a two-part thing for the Architects and Engineers website. Part one was a couple of years ago, and then I followed it up. It basically looked at the whole subject of how the mainstream media treats the subject of conspiracy theories, and I put that in quotes. Basically, how they use that label, the conspiracy theory label, to essentially squelch any dissent before it has a chance to actually be considered. Or so they and I identified a list of, well, you know, I came up with a list of 18 different tactics that they use, and they use it over and over and over and over again, so commonly that I find it impossible to believe that this is just something that individual journalists come up with on their own. It feels like a very orchestrated thing, and I believe it is orchestrated. When they refer to, you know, people having bizarre conspiracy theories, you know, the word bizarre pops up all the time. So there are many of these, you know, they kind of ridicule conspiracy theorists and question, you know, what makes them the way they are. You know, what's the psychology of a conspiracy theorist? Why, you know, it's another one you'll often see is why do they still believe all these years later? You know, as if somehow the passage of time should have straightened everyone out and everybody should have come to the realization that the government was telling the truth the whole time. I mean, it's almost to the point of being cartoonish now, I would say. And it's all about shutting down dissent. So, you know, I've got to think that we have something that, you know, worthwhile to say, because otherwise they wouldn't feel the need, I don't think, to continue to use these tactics against us 23 years later. So that's one of the things, I guess, that we're up against.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is what shocked me to my core, was seeing how the media conspired to try to shut down anybody. And, you know, you watch these movies, these Hollywood movies, it's about a conspiracy of any kind. Now, one of the first things that makes me laugh is they have the conspiracy theorist character always has some kind of particle board where they have yarn connecting to different pieces of paper and pictures and such. And, you know, I guess if you want to say I'm a professional conspiracy theorist, if there is any such thing, I guess that's what we all are. And I've never had such a board in my life. However, you notice in these movies that whenever the hero gets the evidence to whoever they want to get it to, the media, the president of the United States, all of a sudden the movie is closed. Anything that needs to happen to bring justice, apprehend the bad guys, is done, closing credits. But in the real world, you can have solid evidence. You can point to things where the official reports are completely wrong, that completely debunks their analysis. For instance, on the Twin Towers, you have these airplanes crashing into the buildings, and NIST claims that it knocked the fireproofing off the trusses. The fires inside from all the jet fuel spraying got hot, caused the trusses to sag, pulled the exterior columns inward, and that caused these top blocks. When I'm saying top block, I mean, I'm saying to imagine the Twin Towers is in three sections. You got A at the top, you know, that's the area above airplane impact. You got the B, that's the area of airplane impact, and C would be everything below it. So these trusses in the area of impact got so hot, pulled the exterior columns inward, and that's what caused these top blocks to go. However, when you watch the North Tower, this antenna signals what happened. Now, maybe that's a really bad pun, but you can excuse that and listen to the analysis here, because the antenna falls first. So it shows that the core is going first, not the exterior. Scientific-minded government, people charged with this very important responsibility, you would think that they would say, oh, you know, we need to go back to the analysis. We need to revisit it. But no, they say they stand by their reports. In the case of, I believe it is the South Tower, where they claim that the fire initiated on a particular floor, I believe it is the 98th floor, you know, you need to have raging fires for this to happen. But only the tip of the airplane's wing touched that floor. We'll get back into this in just a moment. You're listening to the Power Hour.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Discover the benefits of vitamin B17 and its potential role in supporting overall health and well-being with our Power Hour partner, Richardson Nutritional Center. Their natural bitter apricot seeds and vitamin B17 capsules have high levels of B17, also known as amygdalin, which is a naturally occurring compound found in plant-based sources. At Richardson Nutritional Center store, they prioritize your health and satisfaction. Their Laetril vitamin B17 capsules are carefully manufactured under strict quality standards to ensure purity and potency. Buy Laetril B17 capsules or bitter apricot seeds today and embark on a natural journey towards wellness. To order, visit thepowerhour.com, click on the Partners tab, or call us at 877-817-9829.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We are what we eat, what we drink, and what we breathe, and how we think. However, it is most important how we think so that we make the appropriate decisions on what we eat, drink, and breathe, says Dr. Eric Llewellyn, Holistic Advisory Board member of the Royal Society of Health in the UK. Only Grown by Nature offers true, organic, whole food supplements that have been proven by multiple peer-reviewed studies to be superior in not only absorption, but retention, and most importantly, utilization within our bodies. The marketing is supported by a foundation of truth in supplementation. Grown by Nature offers and delivers to you and your body whole food nutrients that are lacking in today's diets. To order, call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Power Hour. I'm the special guest host today, Andy Steele from AE911 Truth. I am joined by structural engineer Kamal Obaid, journalist Craig McKee. We are talking 9/11. An anniversary is coming up. We got our own plans for it. We'll be talking a little bit about that. We wanted to do a big unveiling coming up soon. But I just before we get back to our guests, I just want to get back to this point I was making. I knew we had a commercial coming up, and I misspoke. It's actually the North Tower I'm talking about. Same difference, though. So I'm going to read you a quote. This is from the NIST reports and their analysis of the Twin Tower destruction. They said, the towers likely would not have collapsed under the combined effects of aircraft impact and subsequent multi-floor fires encountered on September 11, 2001, if the insulation had not been widely dislodged or had been only minimally dislodged by the aircraft impact. Now, there is a lot of technical stuff in all of this, but this is the end of the Columbo movie here, or it should be, because NIST put a lot of eggs in that fireproofing basket. Their whole analysis on these twin towers for why these top blocks went depends on that fireproofing being dislodged by the airplane impacts. But in the case of the North Tower, they say that the collapse initiated on the 98th floor, and that is what the evidence shows when you look at it. But only the tip of the airplane's wing touched that floor. So it could not have knocked this fireproofing off of the trusses inside. So right there, it's almost like Marty McFly goes back in time, does not prevents his parents from hooking up, and he's not born. That's the whole conflict of Back to the Future there, the whole problem that he faces. Well, NIST is facing a similar problem because they don't have their initiating event now. They could not have knocked this fireproofing off of the trusses. So a government that cares about being accurate about an event that led to the deaths of thousands of people, you would think, would say, whoops, we need to revisit the analysis. But they don't. Kamal, is our government allowed to be wrong on something as important as September 11th?
Well, that's a very interesting question because we know what the answer to that is. At least some of us who have been following this know what the answer is. So, you know, from a standpoint of the engineering profession, you're not allowed to be wrong. It's unethical. It's wrong. You've got to basically do everything you can to put out the truth and come up with an analysis of the building. You're tasked with coming up with an analysis of the building that basically shows really what happened and not what what is purported to have happened. So as we know, the government had put out a report, NIST had put out a report that is completely inaccurate, and we've challenged that. We've challenged that at the beginning on the level of NIST by basically writing to them and asking them for explanations for the various different areas of the report that are problematic. They essentially ignored us, and so we had to file a lawsuit. And the lawsuit was basically dismissed at the initial court level, essentially saying that the government, all they're required to do is put out a report, and it doesn't have to be accurate. At least they did a study, they put out a report. It does not, they're not obliged to be held by any standards of accuracy. And so then, of course, we pursued that all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court did not want to hear it. So we're now at a situation where officially what we're told that the government can put out a report and it does not have to be accurate. So that's why we're taking the next step now. And you can talk about that if you like.
Absolutely. Let me punctuate this, folks, because this has been our year, our summer. So we file a request for correction to NIST on the World Trade Center 7 report because, again, we're just scratching the surface on the evidence here. I mean, there were things they got wrong, missing structural features that when they're properly added, they were in the building. It renders NIST's collapse hypothesis untenable. They got measurements wrong, all sorts of stuff. You can download that on our website, ae911truth.org. It turned into a lawsuit because NIST said, well, we're not going to address any of your points. We're just going to stand by our report. During one of the appeals processes, because they don't want to hear it, as Kamal just said, it was ruled that all NIST is required to do is issue a report as long as they meet statutory requirements. All right. It doesn't have to be scientifically accurate. If there's issues with their calculations and such, and it's pointed out by the citizens that they're under no obligation to do anything with it, all they have to do is issue a report. Now, I tend to be a little bombastic, a little rhetorical at times, and I asked a guest on my show, well, what's to keep them from blowing their nose in a hanky and handing it to you and saying, there's your report, kid. We're going to write official report on it. And I don't think they would go that far, but really, according to the law, nothing, nothing. So federal agency reports do not have to be scientifically accurate. And also we run into this issue when we do lawsuits is we don't have standing as citizens. So Bob McElvain, who lost his son Bobby at the Twin Towers on September 11th, doesn't have any standing to challenge these official reports, even though he lost his son. So right now we are pursuing something called the Scientific Integrity Act because the Supreme Court didn't want to hear this. And what this would do is it would force federal agency reports to be scientifically accurate, scientifically sound. It would also give regular citizens, and I'm not talking about some guy living in a basement who just wants to harass the government. I mean, there would be a standard of quality that would have to be met. But somebody like Kamal over here who can point out reasonable problems with reports, it would give the citizens standing to challenge inaccurate federal agency reports, scientific reports in court. And this is so much more important than 9/11, even though 9/11 for us is the biggest issue. Let's say you have a town where children are getting cancer, cancer cluster, and there's some polluting company in the area, strong suspicion that they're responsible for this phenomenon, but the president of the company happens to be the president of the United States' best friend. And the federal government issues a report saying, oh, no, we don't know why all these 12-year-olds are getting cancer, but we can tell you for certain that it's not this company. And then people who are concerned about this, maybe parents of the children, decide to sue the government about this report, or maybe just a concerned journalist or citizen who is not directly related to the kid but doesn't like the fact that this is happening. It would give them the power to take that to court. And this affects anything in which science sits at the center, any issue. Now, we focus on 9/11. We're doing this in the name of 9/11 truth, trying to push this legislation. And I can't imagine any legislator saying, no, I think government should retain the right to be inaccurate in their reports. So that's the beauty of this. It puts them on the spot. But a lot of people look back to September 11th and they say, I don't know, 23 years ago, that's sad. You know, it's pretty lousy that the government got away with lying about this, but why should I care now? Craig, as somebody that I know cares deeply about this issue, has been pursuing this for over a decade, does time erase the importance of the 9/11 truth issue in our world, according to you?
No, definitely not. And I think this is one of the challenges that we in the 9/11 truth movement have, is how do we keep people engaged on this issue, and how do we get across to them why it continues to be important? And I would suggest that it's continues to be important because it's not going to be the only mass deception that's going to take place. In fact, there have been others before and since, and they are going to keep happening as long as the population is a large part of the population is fooled by them. And of course, you've got a compliant media that basically just operates as spokespeople for the powers that be. And so it's essential that we understand, that everybody understand 9/11. It isn't too late. There are still people trying to get the truth out about the Kennedy assassination, and I guess you could make the argument based on that we're never gonna get anywhere with it. But I don't think that's true. I think we have to get across the pattern. I think. And you can see a lot of similarity between events like the Kennedy assassination, 9/11. Of course, during Kennedy's time in office, there was Operation Northwoods, which basically reads like a dry run for 9/11, with aircraft, and passengers that were under false identities. I don't know if that happened in 9/11 necessarily, but it's certainly one of the possibilities. So the pattern, the way these deceptions are carried out, it's important for us to understand that, because those same tactics are constantly being used against us. I certainly think that we've seen some examples of that in recent years. And I think we're going to keep seeing them. So we have to be able to see through these things. And I think, as I said, it's a challenge for us as 9/11 truthers to make people understand why it's still relevant and why we have to keep fighting for the truth. And I would end this answer, I guess, on one optimistic note, which is the fact that we are now starting to see more commentators, more popular commentators, and I'm thinking of people like Tucker Carlson, Jimmy Dore, Russell Brand, Candace Owens, people like this, who are now prepared to say, that we were lied to about 9/11, and a lot of them have sort of stuck their toe in the water with Building 7, saying that it's clear that that did not come down, that must have been brought down with explosives. And I think they are, maybe they haven't fully, haven't taken that to its ultimate conclusion, because if that was brought down with explosives, well, that, that leads to the idea that obviously that was done with the Twin Towers also, because you can't rig a building for demolition in a day. So obviously that had to have been prepared ahead of 9/11. So I think it's encouraging to some degree that we are now starting to see people feeling like it is now safe to say this. Whereas for many years, I think a lot of them would maybe have thought it, but they would have hesitated to say anything because they would be afraid of being ridiculed or mocked. And I think there are probably a lot of, in fact, I know there are a number of quite well-known celebrities who have either said a certain amount, or maybe they're not saying very much publicly, but behind the scenes, we know that they support us. I mean, just look at, Spike Lee as an example. He's definitely on board, and he agrees with the conclusions that we've reached. So I'm kind of a little bit hopeful, I guess, that maybe it's starting to be an acceptable topic in mainstream circles for people to start talking about it. Hopefully we can just keep that momentum going.
Well, that's why a lot of our efforts are not only focused on giving scientific talks. We have this thing, by the way, called Project Due Diligence. This is headed by our chairman, Roland Engel, and he's got engineers going around the country giving presentations on Building 7, Twin Towers, and they're giving them to the chapters, local chapters of these professional engineering organizations like the ASCE, which has done everything they can to try to stifle Roland and his team from doing this. But we also are trying to do stuff to get our issue out into the culture. We had the graphic novel a couple of years ago, because you have to make September 11th, 9/11 truth cool. I love working with young people. They got a lot of energy. I'm getting to be an older gent these days, but I love their energy. I absorb it. It fuels me. But you can see that's what's happened with the internet. When we started off back in 2008 or so, the people who would hang a shingle on the internet would talk about real issues. There was no kind of monetary reward for doing it. They did it because they really cared. Now you see a lot of young energy being focused on things that I consider to be silly. I watched a YouTube video of some kid talking about a box of Captain Crunch for a half an hour and how it's different. We got to tap into that energy and make them realize that 9/11 is still continuing to impact their world. And I really believe that a revelation of what really happened that day would be a good thing. I know there's people who will hold back, and they will say, well, you got a point there on Building 7, on 9/11. It probably was an inside job, a controlled demolition. But think about what that would do to the country. I mean, the stock market would crash. We would have such dishonor attached to our flag, our name. It would be a horrible thing. So we have to protect this secret. We have to keep on stifling people like Kamal Obeid and Craig McKee, because it's for the greater good. Nobody must know what they did. Now, I completely disagree with that line of thinking, but before I share my thoughts on that, beginning with Kamal, what do you think about that? I mean, would a revelation of what really happened on that day be devastating for the United States of America?
Well, the truth will set us free. That is so important. But I think we may have to undergo self-re-examination, and that's a very healthy process to basically understand that we are not in control of our government, and there's a deep state there that is basically going out of control, doing all these strange things in the interest of who knows who. So we're at a situation right now where if you do expose that, then and it becomes it gets basically punished for the crimes that they've committed and for all the bad things that are happening nowadays, for all the wars that we're being led into. And really, all these things are somewhat connected to 9/11. All of the loss of our civil liberties, the no questioning of starting wars with other countries or wreaking devastation on so many different parts of the planet without any questioning. So that's all a byproduct of 9/11. We are really heading into a disaster if we don't stop it. In fact, I think it's our duty. It's the duty of every patriotic American to basically stop this and basically bring it out to the front to be examined and basically eliminated. I mean that kind of behavior needs to be stopped. So I think it's a very healthy process. In the short term, it may be problematic for, let's say, the economy, but we are. I mean, look at us. We're spending all the billions of dollars on wars where our country is suffering. Our tax dollar is being spent without our consent. Taxation without representation. Look what happened back then. So here we are. Again, the truth will set us free.
Absolutely. And I'm sick and eating for a cup of ice cream at the Dairy Queen because our money has to go to other countries to fight these wars that have nothing to do with the average citizen here. And we got to get a hold of this. And maybe if I ever come back here on the Power Hour, I'll hunt down people from the Mises Institute to talk about why that is happening at the stores. But Craig, I know you're in Canada. But I know you also care about your friends here in the United States. Is this the end of the world for the United States if we acknowledge what really happened on September 11th?
No, clearly not. And I would just say from coming from the point of view of somebody outside the United States, I would say that this whole thing is much more of a global phenomenon than I think a lot of Americans may realize. Some do, I guess, but this is not purely an American issue. The people that are orchestrating these wars are operating on a global level, and so it's not just that it's not benefiting the wars. I don't think ever benefit the average citizen. Ever. Every war starts with a deception, a massive deception. And, all you have to do is look at the Ukraine war as an example. That started, I mean, you can go back even farther than what I'm going to mention, which is 2014. That started with the Americans backing a coup in Ukraine to get to install a government that was friendly to them. And that set off a chain of events that led to this war. A lot of people are, of course, the media, comes in three quarters of the way through that story and only sees it from the point of view of what the Russians are doing bad, but it completely fails to report all the things that led up to it. So the wars start with deception, and this pattern is a global pattern, I would say. So, I wanted just to add one thing in about 9/11 that I think is worth mentioning, although it sort of goes outside of the sphere of AE 9/11 truth specifically. It's a thing that I think is worth mentioning, and that is that there are other elements of 9/11 that are also just as ridiculous. The government story is just as ridiculous And that's particularly the Pentagon part of it and the Shanksville part of it. I mean, the Shanksville part of it is that a large plane landed in the middle of a field and buried itself entirely underground. This is something that I think the truth movement needs to exploit more, because it's the most ridiculous, perhaps the most ridiculous part of the whole story, among many ridiculous parts. And the Pentagon, we have so much evidence that the Pentagon was never struck by Flight 77 or any 757. You know, we just have to look. Well, there are so many reasons to think that. But, you know, even the government's, the NTSB's own animation that it did based on the flight data recorder shows the plane too far to the north and too high to have hit the building. So there are so many aspects of 9/11 that are important. AE 9/11 Truth focuses on the towers, and that's why it has credibility, because it sort of has the, you know, the state of the art analysis of all the evidence to do with New York City. So, and I think that I'll just finish with the reason I mentioned the Pentagon particularly is that that is the one area where if a plane crash was faked there, as I believe that it was, then I think that's the one area that absolutely proves government complicity on some level. There are many other parts of 9/11 that are very strongly, you know, strongly point in that direction. But a fake plane crash at the military headquarters of the country is absolutely undeniable on that. So I'm going to throw that in, even though I know that's not AE's kind of focus.
You mean they could have pulled off this great deception at the Twin Towers and Building 7 in New York City and spent all these years trying to stifle people like us on that issue, and it's possible they could have done other things at the other sites? Wow, that is blowing my mind here. No, I think every aspect of 9/11 should be looked at, analyzed. It's one of the most important events of the century. And getting into my own thoughts about whether this would be the end of the world for the United States – absolutely not. Look, we used to have horrible institutions in this country. Slavery is a great example. Terrible thing. It's not just forcing people to work for free. It's torture and degradation of spirit. But we overcame that. We celebrate the people who stood up against that. And I think the same thing would happen with 9/11. And I think it would change everything in the final equation. So, again, we've just scratched the surface. If you want to learn more about the Twin Towers and World Trade Center 7, you can go to our website, ae911truth.org. We've got a couple of things going on here. We've got the Scientific Integrity Act. We mentioned that earlier. You can learn more about that at our website. We've also got an anniversary event coming up that we're going to be announcing very soon. We're talking about big voices speaking out on Building 7. Earlier in this show, well, we're going to have some there too. But for the Power Hour, this is Andy Steele with Kamal Obaid and Craig McKee. Thank you for joining us this hour, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day, folks.
Is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give. For questions or comments about today's broadcast, please feel free to email us at support@thepowerhour.com or call 877-817-9829 and select option number 2. We'd love your show feedback and guest recommendations, so please feel free to reach out and be a part of the Power Hour team.